I'm John Batchelor, the Friends of History Debating Society. Jeremy Zakas in New South Wales is here. Last week, we talked about a snake catcher who had been bitten now a lifetime three times, and it was time to retire. Now, I don't know how many times this particular snake catcher has been bitten, but it was a tiger snake, and we've not talked about tiger snakes. And something about the bite on his hand, you could see it, two needle marks, and he collapsed. He stopped breathing. How is he now, Jeremy?
He did, John. He is now doing slightly better, but still not doing great. He's out of intensive care in Melbourne and basically going into, I guess you could say, a recovery phase for his illness, but still in and out of consciousness, still reportedly in a coma as such, and still not out of the woods yet because the snake bite, the tiger snake bite, apparently got right into his nervous system almost instantaneously and basically he did stop breathing for some period immediately after the bite. And now Melbourne in Victoria, which is a big city, it's a large city, it's not really known for its tiger snakes as well. So in some ways, this is a very, very unlucky event. And this poor guy, while he looks like he's on the road to recovery, when he comes out of his coma and starts to come back to, normality, there may be some permanent injury. So, John, we haven't spoken about the tiger snake, but I think this is a really good example of just how dangerous some of our most dangerous snakes are and why really you have to watch out.
Yes, it hit him once and he didn't have time to react, to call somebody to get to the clinic. He collapsed. His daughter was with him, apparently. She's testifying. This happened on a Melbourne resident property March 10th. So that's a week ago. And he's still, he looks poorly in these photographs. Now, tiger snakes, where are they naturally?
Well, naturally, they are up and down the eastern seaboard, but it's more really in southern Queensland, right through New South Wales here in northern Victoria. So I guess while Melbourne is kind of in their area and kind of in their region, it's more in the southern part of it because they tend to be a much more sort of rural type of snake. They tend to need the slightly warmer and a bit of humid type of climate, and they tend to stay away from dwellings. In fact, they're probably more likely to be away from a suburban area than a brown snake because brown snakes have really adapted to humans and they tend to sort of interact quite well with humanity now, more so than they did. But tiger snakes are a much more isolated breed. They tend to try and avoid humans at absolutely all costs. So unfortunately, I think what probably happened here, because this one was maybe out of its natural environment, it was very much fearful for itself and very much on the attack when the snake catcher got into him. And honestly, John, this snake catcher was very experienced. So the fact that he couldn't wrangle it safely and that it got him not once, but it looks like twice very quickly in between his fingers there, it goes to show that these things, you just can't mess with them.
Yes, his hands are badly swollen. If this was not a living person, I would believe it. He's in intensive care. They're treating him very well. I understand there are tiger snakes in New South Wales. Have you seen one, Jeremy?
Yes, John. In fact, I haven't seen one, but I have been informed, unfortunately, only a few hours ago by a landscaper who's working on a property next door to us that there is actually one next door to me. So you can imagine we're right on snake watch as we speak here in New South Wales. And I have mowed my lawns, that we have no ground cover. And right now I'm making sure every door is shut everywhere I can find. But the good thing is where the snake was seen, while it was only maybe 5 meters away from my back fence, it is actually near a drain and near some relatively tall grass near that drain. So I suspect where it's been living probably for a good 6 months at least, it is somewhere in that drain because they don't like humans, they hide. But this thing was reportedly 5 foot, which means it's an adult tiger snake. And the fact that we haven't seen it yet tells me it's probably been doing its best to avoid us. But honestly, John, maybe next week I'll have a photo for you. I'm not going to go out there and try and find it myself, but no doubt it may pop its head up.
Did the landscaper call a snake catcher to search?
This is a very New South Wales thing and very Aussie thing. No, he didn't. The answer he gave me when he said, oh, look, I saw the tiger snake come out from the black plastic and it came down between the properties, he said, I tried to get it, but I couldn't. So he didn't call the snake catcher.
He doesn't read the news? All right, let me speak to people who don't live in Australia. If you see a snake, the first thing you do is you run. Okay, fine. But you don't go near it. You don't touch it. Even you call a snake catcher. They're professionals. They show up, but one of them's in intensive care right now. You always assume the snake is dangerous. Always, even if you say, that's a carpet python, I'm not worried. Jeremy, isn't that all correct? You never ever become an amateur snake catcher. No one is going to credit you. They're going to think you're crazy and influencing your neighborhood. The fact that this landscaper didn't call, where's he from? Perth?
John, that's the exact right answer. Everything you said, that is exactly what you do. Do not do what this landscaper did. This landscaper, I will admit, he actually is from Dubbo, which is a rural part of New South Wales. And I guess even though he lives closer to Sydney now, he's never got the country out of him. And if you looked at him, to be honest, he looks like a very typical farmer. And in some respects, he looks like a typical snake catcher. So honestly, I'll let him do what he does. If I see the thing, I'm going to be running in exactly the opposite direction, shutting down the house, calling the snake catcher. In fact, I have to admit, on my cell phone right next to me now, I've just put in the snake catcher for the local area on the speed dial. So you can be assured that I will be calling the snake catcher. And honestly, I mean, that is exactly what you have to do.
Remember, if somebody leaves a door open, Jeremy's going to evacuate the house, the wife, the child, the dog, everybody out, everybody in the car. And when you get in the car, you check under the seats, you check in the back, you check in the hood, you check in the engine. I've learned that, in fact, there's no place that snakes can't be. So if you have a tiger snake in the neighborhood, well, it's time to consider why you're living there, actually, is why. But Jeremy's an Australian, so let's move on to a story that the Telegraph in London, the Palms in London, think is entertaining. A python on a plate. Now, Jeremy, do you know about this? Do you have restaurants in New South Wales that serve python?
I can honestly say I have never seen python on a plate. And I've been to a lot of restaurants in Sydney and I mean all around Australia, but I have never seen snakes being served up. But apparently this is now becoming a more normal thing. And I hadn't seen it coming. And honestly, these snakes, and I should say, they are grown specifically to be put on a plate. So it's still illegal in Australia to go out and kill pythons and kill brown snakes and every other snake that'll try and kill us first. But they are apparently cultivating snakes in Australia to sell, to eat. And the best part, John, is that they actually just taste like chicken. So they're apparently going to be quite, or possibly will be quite popular and quite succulent. So I'm going to keep my eyes out. But, you know, in some ways, I think it would be cathartic eating something that's been trying to kill us for so long. But I don't know. Python seems like a strange topping, but it'll work.
Well, the way the weather is going in Australia, you've got a lot of pythons. You're developing them all the time. And those rains that are coming are going to bring out more pythons. You're overrun with snakes. That's all there is to it. It's okay. We used to have wolves here, and we wished that some of them would come back. Do you have wolves?
We don't. We have foxes. Not quite as big and sturdy, but the foxes do the job too.
What we discovered about our wolves, this is something I've been working on for several years to pick up, is that they were the apex predator of the forest. When you remove the wolves because of old wives' tales from Europe, you know, the wolf is going to steal your children or eat your dog. When you remove the wolves from the top of the food chain, what that does is it permits other parts of the food chain no longer to worry about the predator. So, modern times, it increases the number of deer collisions on the roadways because the deers are no longer frightened of the apex predator and don't congregate in the forest away from everything. You know, they move. When there's an apex predator present, they stay together and they stay deeper into the forest. So there's talk in parts of Wisconsin to reintroduce the wolf in order to control the deer so there aren't so, and caribou and other animals who don't fear the apex predator. Also, that changes the botany because the deer eat the forest. And when they can roam farther and not fear it, they eat more and distribute the seeds more. So everything changes because you've removed the apex predator, which probably would happen if you removed the snakes. However, I could get behind removing snakes. I can see. Let's take the risk, guys. Does anybody treat your snakes as apex predators?
Well, now you mention it, that is actually very true. Yes. In short answer, yes. In fact, I think the ban on snakes, especially in some of the rural areas, is because they do control the mouse population. They do control, I guess you could say, the lizards and some of the reptile populations, and they do control a lot of the smaller insects as well, because snakes tend to eat a combination of all of those. And it is very true that if you do remove the snakes, in fact, the mouse infestations will take off, which we have seen previously. In
Right,
fact,
right.
in the rural areas with the floods, you may remember that we've had floods in New South Wales, followed by massive, massive amounts of mice epidemics and just literally plagues of mice coming in. But they were then only controlled maybe months later because we had a snake epidemic which came in and then ate the mice. So you can actually see it play out in reality. So they are an apex predator, I guess you could say, for those smaller rodent-like creatures, which is why we do need them. So typically, if you have a snake, you won't have mice. Typically, if you have mice, you can be assured you don't have snakes. And now thinking, I know I don't have any mice, so maybe I know what the answer to that one is. But snakes are needed. They are actually an apex predator in themselves.
It occurs to me that we would never trade our cat for a snake to control the field mice. Okay. Scotty does very well as a mouser. I'm not trading him in for a python. Nope, not going to do it. All right. We're going to my cricket lesson for the week with Jeremy Zakas of New South Wales. And then Jeremy's going to introduce me to Australian speak about cricket and about everything else. This is Friends of History Debating Society, I'm John Batchelor.